From NPR News in Washington, I'm Nancy Lyons. Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle say they want to hear President Obama talk about reducing the nation's debt in the State of the Union address Tuesday night. NPR's Allison Keyes reports.
President Obama has said his speech will focus on creating jobs, making sure America is competitive, and dealing with the more than $14 trillion national debt in what he called a responsible way. Republican Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell, the minority leader, told Fox News Sunday he wants to hear the president talk about cutting spending.
I don't think we ought to start out with the notion that a whole lot of areas in the budget are exempt from reducing spending, which is what we really need to do, and do it quickly.
Independent Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman says the president paid attention to the results of the midterm elections where the Democrats lost control of the House, and he hopes Mr. Obama will say he's ready to take political risk to get the nation's books in balance. Allison Keyes, NPR News, Washington.
A blast of Canadian air is proving too much for even some winter festivals. Meteorologists say temperatures along Lake Ontario could reach 20 below, minus 15 as far south as Pennsylvania. It's freezing the fields for today's AFC and NFC championship football games in Chicago and Pittsburgh. More towns in the Australian state of Victoria are preparing for rising water as flooding in the country continues into its fourth week. As Stuart Cohen reports from Sydney, the economic toll of the ongoing flood crisis is likely to be felt for a long time.
The town of Swan Hill in northwestern Victoria is the latest to prepare for Australia's relentless flooding. The water level there is expected to peak around Tuesday and leave the town isolated for several days. Just like in Queensland 2 weeks ago, it's being described as a massive inland body of water slowly working its way across the state, flooding about 75 towns along its path in Victoria so far, although many of the towns have had levees that have kept them from the worst of the flooding. Much of the state's agricultural crops have been devastated. Australia's treasurer says the flooding has affected more than a tenth of the country's population and is likely to be one of the costliest disasters to ever hit Australia. The government has warned it may have to impose a special one-time flood tax to pay for the recovery. For NPR News, I'm Stuart Cohen in Sydney.
Former Secretary of State Colin Powell says he's seeing some real progress in the U.S. relationship with China. He tells CNN's State of the Union, the U.S. needs to be patient, though, because change takes time.
China is not going to respond to every request we make to reevaluate their currency or to respond to every issue we have on trade. We have to recognize that.
Powell says the recent state visit by China's president was a success for both countries. A former B-2 stealth bomber engineer will be sentenced in a federal court tomorrow for selling military secrets to China. A federal jury found the engineer guilty after deliberating for 6 days. This is NPR News from Washington. The World Health Organization is calling on governments to enact legislation to restrict the marketing of unhealthy fatty food and non-alcoholic beverages toward children. Lisa Schlein in Geneva reports the WHO finds these practices contribute to the global epidemic of obesity.
WHO says children worldwide are exposed to marketing of foods high in fat, sugar, or salt, and this increases their chances of developing non-communicable diseases during their lifetime. WHO official Tim Armstrong says child obesity is a problem in rich countries and is growing among children in poor countries.
Currently, there are 42 million children under the age of 5 who are overweight or obese. 35 million of those 42 million are living in low and middle-income countries, and that is a huge issue.
WHO reports the marketing of unhealthy foods toward children on television strongly influences the kind of food they buy and eat. It says limiting junk food ads on TV would help protect children from these fatty, unhealthy products. For NPR News, I'm Lisa Schlein in Geneva.
The meat industry uses the slogan, beef. It's what's for dinner. And pork is the other white meat. Now the seafood industry is ready to cast its own marketing net in hopes of reeling in more customers. More than 50 fishing and seafood groups are now part of a national marketing campaign. They're hoping to have some help from the federal government. While Americans continue to eat fish, consuming 4.8 billion pounds in 2009, about 84% of it was imported. This whole marketing ploy has been tried before. An effort by the government 25 years ago to promote the industry didn't last. It featured the Sturgeon General spokesfish. I'm Nancy Lyons, NPR.